right. What is going on, everybody? Welcome back to another day of Saber Sims DFS Office Hours. Today is Saturday, July 6th of 2024. Looking ahead here, we have an 8-game early MLB slate, followed by a 4-game MLB main slate later this evening. We have a 2-game WNBA slate. We have Xfinity today and Cup Race tomorrow for NASCAR. And then we also have Formula One with the British Grand Prix tomorrow as well. So plenty of DFS action coming at you over the weekend here. For those of you who are new here, welcome. My name is Andrew. I'm one of the coaches over here at SaberSim. This is a show where we go over how to use the SaberSim app, answer any and all DFS-related questions. Get your questions in one of three ways here. First off, send us an email, support@sabersim.com. Second, post it live in the YouTube chat. Third way, post it in the Office Hours channel in our Discord server. If you're not in our Discord and want to get access to that channel, there is a link in the description of this video. You also get access to our similar channels, individual sport channels, and you get access to the rest of the SaberSim teams. Can't say enough good things about the Discord. With that said, we do the show Monday through Friday, 4 p.m. Eastern, and then we do the show here on Saturdays at 11 a.m. Eastern. So tune in and get your questions answered. But with that said, let's get the SaberSim app pulled up here. Got a few questions to get us started today, so we are going to hit these, and then we will see if any more questions in and keep the show rolling, get to all the questions before the end of the show, as always. All right. First question from T. And let's go to a sport that has projections up already. So let's go over to MLB. 8-game early slate. All right. First question. What's the rationale for simming and filtering field lineups for the types of contests you're not playing? I.e., you are playing 20 max and 150 max. Do you really need to sim and sort slash filter from the single entry fields and vice versa? This is something that, you know, there's been a little bit of chatter about, and I think really what it comes down to is that ownership comes in differently in different types, in these different buckets, and the lineup constructions are slightly different. Basically, what you're trying to do with this is account for like lineup fragility or like ROI fragility. So like if a lineup grades out well in one bucket but doesn't grade out well in another bucket, I think that kind of speaks to like, hey, you know, if ownership comes in slightly different, which the ownership is different between the buckets, and this lineup grades out well in one but not in the other, the chances are this lineup is actually a lot more fragile than we think if you just look at the single bucket. But if this lineup grades out well in one bucket and grades out well in another bucket, well, then, you know, that is probably a strong lineup because it can handle those small ownership variations and still grade out as a positive sim ROI lineup. So I think that's what you're trying to account for. You're trying to account for the fluctuation of ownership and see how that impacts the ROI of the lineup. All right. Still a little sick here. Gonzalez said, does a lineup's pre-lock saber score change as games are played? So no, it does not. And the reason for that is because if you go and look at the saber score formula, it is using the saber sim projection as a variable, and it will not change to use a different, like a, it will not change to use the live projection as the variable. And then similarly for the adjusted ownership, it's using the pre-lock ownership source as opposed to one of the live sources. So the saber score variables that you see here in the formula, the sum projection, the 99th percentile, the average adjusted ownership, are all based on the pre-lock, are all based on pre-lock variables, and they will not update for any live data. But good question. All right, question from Chuck. Chuck said, I have developed a dynamic scoring metric outside of SaberSim that is similar to adjusted ownership. The basic underlying metric is using risk-adjusted ROI as a positively weighted metric and ROI standard deviation as a negatively weighted metric. However, my scoring metric goes one step further and boosts the lineups that increase my portfolio's diversity, whereas lineups that decrease my portfolio's diversity would be taxed. What are your thoughts on this approach? My thinking is that ROI is addressing lineup risk, and then minimizing ROI standard deviation helps to further reduce lineup risk, but doesn't address portfolio risk. That is where I had the idea to come up with my own metric to dynamically account for portfolio risk in my process. I think this is a good approach. You know, it sounds like sound thinking. It sounds like sound logic. You know, there are other pros who have openly discussed that, you know, like Shady Advice, that he has his own code where he manages his risk and does things like that. So there are a lot of DFS users who are using SaberSim in combination with some personal process or code that they've written themselves. And I think that, you know, this is a completely fine approach. I don't see any issues with it at all. So more power to you, Chuck. All right. Keeping it rolling here. A couple more questions in the Discord, and then we will jump over to the YouTube chat. Two questions here from Hemi. First one is going to be, all right, here we go. Hemi said, what are the filters for NASCAR today? The filters don't change, man. You know, the filters are going to be the same as far as contest sims go, as far as, you know, filtering for lineups greater than zero. You know, we don't have any like special formulas or, you know, I think the problem is that if you use heuristics, you know, courses change, races change, everything's different. Like, you know, you're playing Daytona, you want to stack the back, right? You want to play drivers who don't have a lot of downside as to losing positions, right? But then you play some of these other, you know, where other races where the crash index isn't high, and it's totally okay to play a dominator, to play guys at the front. So like, you know, be careful with these heuristics. I think, you know, doing it more broadly on like a DFS level with the contest sims is the best idea. But other than that, I don't have any special tips or tricks for you for NASCAR. All right. Follow-up question. Also, as lineups for MLB come in and you rerun the contest sim, why does it change stacks and teams after the first run? Is it the lineups coming in? So it could also just be like the sims that you are getting, right? Like this kind of goes back to why SaberSim users don't duplicate each other. It's because every time you build a lineup or every time you run the sims, we are randomly taking sims from each game on the slate, and then we are combining those to create a slate simulation. Well, there are, you know, say 5,000 game sims of each game on the slate, and say we're taking 5 sims every time we build your lineup. You know, if you go and put that in a combination calculator, that the number of possible combinations is incredibly high, and then you have to take that to the power of however many games are on the slate. So this number becomes exponentially massive very, very fast. That goes to say that, you know, if you run a build one time, well, if you run it again, you know, you can get different outcomes and that favor different teams. So, you know, you're not going to run the build and then run a second build and get the same exact lineup at the top of your pool every time, unless you're using optimizer mode. And then what optimizer mode does is it looks at the values in the my projection column, and it just tries to build the highest projected score lineups possible. And that is a mathematical equation where, you know, one lineup will come in as the highest projected score lineup each and every time you build. But that is not the case for sim mode, where we are randomly sampling lineups from the field. So that's what the big difference is there. All right. From the YouTube chat, Scott said, what do you think the best stacks are for the 4 p.m. games on DK? If I wanted to answer this question, what I would do is I would run a build just like we did here. And, you know, I would come into my team stacks. And I prefer to go and look at the five stacks tab specifically, but I like to look at the pool exposure, right? So I'm coming over here and I see, hey, the Mets have a pool exposure of 18% in the five stack spot. Meanwhile, no other team is above 8%. So their pool exposure is 10% plus higher than any other team on the slate. So for me, you know, Mets are looking like the best stack at the moment. I think you can take this one step further and go and look at what the ownership for the Mets is. So if I just go over to the Mets batters, you know, it doesn't look terrible. I mean, Lindor 17%, Martinez 17%, but Nimmo about 10, Alonso about 10. You know, I would say that their five stack pool exposure is coming in higher than what they will be owned at a team stack level. And, you know, people ask about stack ownership. If you want to look at stack ownership, there is kind of a way to do it. So if you go to the contest tab, you go over to field lineups, you know, let's just say we pull up the flagship MME bucket here. So remember that the ownership projections come from our ownership build, and we're looking at our ownership build. So if you want to estimate stack exposure, you can come into the ownership build and see what the exposures are. So like, for instance, across all stacks, we're expecting the Mets to be stacked about 25%. But as a five stack, we are expecting the Mets in the field to come in at about 8%. So our pool exposure for the Mets five stacks was actually double this, right? It was 18%, a little more than double. So Mets are looking pretty solid. But if you're looking for like stack ownership, this is effectively how you would find it. Is all right. Jumping back to SaberSim here. Taking a peek in the Discord and taking a peek here in the YouTube chat. Looks like we're all caught up here. Normally I would do a little build demo for you guys, but really kind of feeling under the weather here. You could probably hear it in my voice. So gonna get out of here. Appreciate you guys tuning in. I will be right back here on Monday, 4 p.m. Eastern for our next show. So until then, everybody, take care. Good luck. I'll see you all. Thanks. Bye.